Well, I got me up at 4:47. I think I'm at breakfast in an hour. When the repo has to back, okay. Well, I think I would have played my game before church. It's only been 5 o'clock. So you lay back down, and at 9:30, I'm like, Ryan, you need to take medicine. Never mind, it's 2 hours late. Maybe 3. Ryan, it's 10 o'clock. You need to take pills. Ryan, you need to eat breakfast. Rush. Oh, oh my gosh, we're not going to wait.
Well, you succeed. It's going to take so long. She keeps it.
There you go. Yeah. Could you pass that around for me? Thank you. Do you have your birthday list by chance? Put mine down somewhere. Thank you. Good morning, church. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday of Easter, as even though the rain pours outside, we can feel God's love inside. A few announcements before we get started. First, I want to thank all of those who helped out with our quarter auction. It was a lot of fun yesterday, a lot of prizes. We had a lot of victors from our congregation. A special thanks to Tammy Eichel for organizing all that and getting all the vendors set up. It was a fun time for all. Next Sunday after worship, there will be a lunch and pie auction at Dover to support the kids going to Convo. If you get an opportunity to support that after church next week, that would be greatly appreciated. It is a very expensive trip, so any opportunity we have to help those kids is always appreciated. National Day of Prayer will be Thursday, May 2nd at Faith Christian Church at 7 p.m. Once again, if you get a chance to see that, you don't want to miss it, because it is one of the rare services that is almost entirely lay-led by people in our community, not just from one church, but from churches all throughout Tuscarawas County. We have people praying for our nurses, we have people praying for our school system, we have people praying for our churches, and we have people praying for our first responders and our veterans, and it really is a powerful service to see, and I hope you get the chance to see it at 7 p.m. on Thursday at Faith Christian. Also, Food on the Fly, Wednesday, May 8th, is coming around the corner. If you get a chance to support that, that would also be greatly appreciated. From 4 to 6 for $8, you can have a wonderful meal and support the ministries of the church. This is something Floyd and Delene and Letitia have been getting off the ground, so if we can support them, it would be great to see. We always show up for our events, and I have no doubt that we'll show up for this as well. Saturday, May 18th, we have our Be the Church workshop at Sharon Moravian from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you're interested in doing that, please let me know. We can get you signed up and turned into the provincial office. These workshops that are hosted by Denny and Marie, Denny Roan and Marie Coates, have been phenomenal. Nobody regrets going to them, so if you're interested in doing that, please let me know. I have an usher and greeter sign-up sheet going around. If we could get that filled out this Sunday, I'd appreciate that so I can get it in the newsletter. A few other announcements. I know, Steve, you wanted to speak about the chicken barbecue. Did I? There you go. Yep.
Yeah, next Saturday, Kent Zimmerman is having a fundraiser, Black Sheep Barbecue, called Chicken in a Bag. Tim and I have tickets. It's a half a chicken, and today is like the last day you can get it. So it's all free sale. And the bag of chicken is picked up. The back of Jamaican Nuts Church, between the alley there, comes down past the church.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's so moved to support, you can see Tim or myself.
Absolutely. Camp Zimmerman is a great Moravian entity to support. They do a lot of camping stuff, a lot of stuff for the local community here, and their chicken barbecues are always fantastic. So if you get a chance, see Steve or Tim for tickets there. Does anybody else have any other announcements they want to share?
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
I also, if you enjoyed the quarter auction yesterday, I have quarter auction tickets for next Saturday for the Indian Valley Marching Braves. We're trying to get some new uniforms paid off, so I have tickets here if you want one.
Awesome. Yeah, so like me, if your number hit every time you didn't have a quarter in, it would be a good week to redeem yourself.
Next Saturday. Fairgrounds.
Oh, awesome. Anybody else have any other announcements to share? All right, before we turn over to our time of greeting, we're going to go through our birthdays and anniversaries for this week, and please don't forget, we will celebrate with cake after worship. But our anniversaries this past month, we celebrated Jim and Jill Schaefer and John and Stacy Castor, who are celebrating their anniversary today. So happy anniversary to the two of you. Birthdays, Millie Weston, Jackie Porter, Linda Northrup, Chloe Martin, Allie Baker, Carter Corns, Jim Schaefer, and Nick Menapace all celebrate their birthday this month. At this time, let us all stand as we join together for our birthday and anniversary celebration and sing together the Moravian birthday hymn. Greet one another. Morning, Chloe.
Now.
Morning, Angie. How are we feeling this week?
Now we can do it.
Now we can do it.
Getting the head start.
Happy anniversary. How's it going, Becky? Happy anniversary, Stacy. How's it going, Missy? How's it going, Jeanne? Good morning. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Ron.
1, 2, 3.
Morning, Jim. Good morning, Brandon. Morning, Tyler.
I'm like, what's that word today?
Ah.
Good morning.
Morning, Danielle. Morning, Jackie. Good to see you. Put on the miles this week, huh? Morning, Norm. Brandon, give me a high five. Morning, Billy. Morning. Please remain standing as we join together for our watchword of the week this week. Our watchword this week comes from John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." You may be seated.
Praise God.
Praise God for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness.
Praise God in the sanctuary.
Praise God everywhere.
Please remain standing as we join to sing Christ is Alive. Please remain standing.
You'll turn to page 40 in your pew hymnal, on page 40 for Liturgy for Discipleship. Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples."
We hear your call to discipleship.
Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect.
Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit, and that your fruit should abide."
Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit.
Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Confess, Lord, that as your disciples, we have often dishonored the holy name we bear. We ask your forgiveness for the times when we have failed to labor for your kingdom, when we have not followed your admonition to seek first the kingdom of God, when we have hidden our light from the world, when we, as the salt of the earth, have lost our strength. Have mercy on us, and restore us in
Amen.
The Lord your Redeemer has said, "With everlasting love I will have compassion on you. Therefore serve the Lord with gladness, witness to his goodness and mercy, and preach Jesus Christ as Lord, with yourselves as servants for Jesus' sake." Please stand.
As we think about our offering today we prayed together the liturgy of discipleship, because today we're talking about one of the 12 disciples in Thomas. And so many people focus on the doubt that went within Thomas. But there are so many times we doubt ourselves, we doubt what we give to, we don't think that the gift that we're giving is going to be enough or it's going to make a difference. But when we give to God, we can realize that even the smallest coin we put in the plate can serve many. Because if it's given with compassion, God has set it aside so we can do wonderful and gracious things with it. So now let us give graciously and compassionate to our God. Please rise. Let us pray together. Dear Jesus, remind us that the Easter season is not just about a day, but it is a season of new life. Help us to give compassionately and generously, to remind others of the joy gifted to us, Christ, all the days of our life. Amen. You may be seated. I neglected to put in our bulletin the prayers of the people, but that is what we'll be doing now. Especially not going to skip it when I find out the week that a young man from Dover is trying out for the Green Bay Packers. So if he makes the team, I expect to have plenty of Packer fans in my congregation this week. Let us turn our hearts to a time of prayer and reflection. Let us remember Lynn Capretta, who is having a long-awaited gallbladder surgery on Wednesday. For Caroline Allenbog, Tom Baker's sister, who is having cataract surgery this week, we certainly hold her in prayer. For Kay Harmon, Jean Ann Baker's aunt, healing prayer. She's recovering from surgery and awaiting test results, so we pray for Kay this week. We offer the sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Lori Sutton. She passed away on Tuesday after a long battle with cancer. She was a very good friend of the Eichel family. She's one of the vendors very consistently at our quarter auctions. Her husband, Terry, was actually there yesterday as a strong shore of support. So if you could surround him and their family in prayer as well, that would be greatly appreciated. Continued prayer for the family and friends of Jonathan Menard, the 14-year-old boy who was killed and found in the field a week ago. The service was held on Thursday. Please be with all those in this small community who continue to mourn and reflect on this young man, and hopefully they find solace in the resurrection hope that is offered to him. Libby Pasquinelli, who had a successful surgery for her kidney stones this past week, please continue to uplift and hold her in prayer. Keep Ian Swinderman in prayer as he continues to be dealing with some difficult kidney issues. Just wants to get back to being an active little boy. Some news in our church. We celebrate that Tim Naseby, a Moravian Seminary student, has accepted the call to Unionville, Michigan. So we welcome him to the Mid-States. Tim is a member at Central Moravian. He'll be getting ordained at Central this June. I believe he is also doing the marriage, ordination, and off-to-church route, too. So we wish him well in his journey. But we're excited to have Tim in the Mid-States. Chris Johnson, we pray for her. She has accepted a six-month appointment to Westside Moravian Church in Bethlehem, where she will be filling in for the late Reverend Keith Harkey, who did a wonderful job there. The Servants of Remembrance will be held for Reverend Harkey on May 10th. But we pray for Chris as she helps lead this church through a difficult time of transition. And let us all remember some of the natural disasters and tragedies we've had this week. We think about those affected by the synagogue shooting in California and all the other places throughout our world who have been hit hard by tragedy. But let us pay attention to the small things God is doing behind the scenes in all those places. So let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for the resurrection hope that we are promised this Easter season. We realize that in the church life, we can lose a lot of the energy and the momentum we have after Holy Week, but help each one of us realize that Easter is not just a day, but it is a season in our hearts, a season that cannot be taken away, because you took all the hatred and the violence and the sin from this world and you put it on your back and you laid down your life for each and every one of us. But gracious God, we realize that it may not always feel like a season of hope. There have been many raindrops in our life, especially this week. And we think about all those who have undergone surgery, all those who are recovering, all those who are grieving, all of those who are facing hatred in places hatred does not belong. Dear God, be with these people. Strengthen and uplift these people. And remind them that they have a Savior who is with them, who does not abandon us, who will carry us when we are weak and weary and just paralyzed by fear. We know that Christ will walk with us and for us. And when we think about our world, gracious God, help us to pay attention to the small acts of kindness, because we know there are so many big and tragic things that can take the news, but every single day there are small acts of kindness in our world where people are caring for one another, people are loving for one another. And we know this happens because you taught us to. So help us to open our eyes and open our hearts and be people that care for one another, because you, Christ, cared for us first. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
Please join me for the scripture lessons, Act 5, 27 through 32, found on page 774 in your Bible. Having brought the apostles, they have made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you have killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who God has given to those who obey him."
Thank you, Chloe. Our gospel today comes from the 20th chapter of John, verses 19 to 31. Jesus appears to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them the hands and his side. Then his disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nail in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the door was shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing him, you may have life in his name. May the reading of God's holy word reach your hearts, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time, I invite our children to come forward for our children's chat. So good morning, everyone. Actually, I'm going to ask you to use, you can hold on to your toys this week. I'm going to ask you to use them as support. We're going to do things a little bit differently. So does anybody know what season we're in, Tyler? April? All right, what about the church? What did we celebrate last week? Aubrey? Easter. We're in Easter season. So Easter is a time of celebration and time of joy. Sometimes the week after Easter, people need a chance to recover. Because who went to church a lot last week? Everybody? Let's see some hands, hopefully a lot. A few more hands next time. We'll get them. But one of the things we do to kind of help ourselves recover is the week after Easter, we have this old church tradition. It is called Holy Humor Sunday. Does anybody know what that is? That means we take time in church to celebrate, to laugh, to make time for joy, because Jesus rising from the dead is what? It's a good thing, right? We're happy about it. So we make time for jokes and laughter. So I'm going to ask you to come up here with me. Let's get in a single file line, and I'm going to have you share some church puns with the church. So you can use your toy as a support animal. Jacob, if you'd like to come up too, you're welcome to. All right, so Nick, you're going to pick out a pun? So you're going to read the top part. So, say that.
Why did the hawk sit on the church? On the church?
Church's steeple.
Church's steeple.
So, why did the hawk sit on the church's steeple?
Why?
Nick, what did it say?
He was a bird of prey.
He was a bird of prey. That's why he sat on. Tyler, you want to grab one? All right, so what's yours?
Why wouldn't the
Pharaoh
let the Hebrews go?
So why wouldn't the Pharaoh let the Hebrews go?
He was in denial.
He was in denial. Good job, Tyler. All right, Paige, your turn.
What kind of man was
Boaz?
Before he married.
So what kind of man was Boaz before he was married? He was ruthless. There we go. Boaz was married to Ruth. All right, Rylan. Oh, here. Let's get in there. Good. Perfect. So let's see. You want to step up? Say, need an ark?
Need an ark?
What do you say now? Read that. Say, need an ark, and then say that.
I know Guy.
All right, Aubrey, let's get you one. We'll get this way down. So, where is Solomon's temple located? You want me to read this one with you? Where was Solomon's temple located?
Where?
On the side of his head. Good job, Aubrey. All right, Brandon, we'll do one together. So this is a good morning one. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Good job, Brandon. Jacob?
I've got my own.
Oh, okay.
And God said unto John, come forth and receive eternal life. But John came fifth and won a toaster.
I like it. That's...
What is a dentist's favorite hymn?
What is a dentist's favorite hymn?
Crown him with many crowns.
And the bonus point is his second favorite hymn is Holy, Holy, Holy. All right, Tyler. Who is the smartest man in the Bible?
Who is the smartest man in the Bible?
Who is the smartest man in the Bible?
Abraham. He knew a lot.
He knew a lot. All right, Paige.
What's
salesman?
A salesman's favorite scripture passage.
Commission.
Commission.
The Great Commission. That's a salesman's favorite passage. So why did Moses cross?
Why did Moses cross the Red Sea? To get to the other side.
All right, Brandon, we get the last one. Aubrey. So this is, why did Samson try to avoid arguing with Delilah? He didn't want to split hairs. And those are, let's give our kids a round of applause for their holy humor today. So let's sit down. We'll reflect on that a little bit. So let me see these toys. So when we talk about humor and joy, I'm going to ask you all about your toys. So what joy do these toys bring for you? So what joy does your bunny bring to you, Paige? Or this is yours, Aubrey? Sorry. What does your bunny do for you? What do you like about your bunny? He helps you? How about Paige? How about your American Girl doll? Helps you. When are you most likely to play with your toys? When you're happy, when you're sad? Okay, play video games. How about Nick? How does baseball bring you joy? It's a fun sport. Who do you play it with? Other kids, your friends. You get to make friends. Some of the best friends I have are because of what I played with, a baseball, a basketball, or a football. Because the things we did together, we became some of our best friends for life. And so I want you to remember that. That sometimes that game is creating friendships that will last your entire life. But we have these other toys as well. And it's important to remember the joy that God brings us. Because today we're going to talk about doubt. What does doubt mean? Rylan? Yeah. So if I said I could jump from here to all the way over the top of those back pews, what would you say? You'd doubt me. And I'd say you'd pretty smart, wouldn't you? Yeah, I would need to fly. The only thing I would get from that is a concussion. That's what would happen. But sometimes, guess what? Sometimes doubt can be a good thing because it makes us think deeper about something. So sometimes it's important to analyze things, and doubt allows us to know that no matter what happens, no matter what we're scared about, no matter what we fear, God is going to protect us and take care of us. And that's why we are able to tell jokes in church and laugh and have joy, because we know that no matter what happens in our world, whether we're playing baseball or we're playing with our little bunny or playing with our little Furby thing here, we know that God's going to protect us in all those times. Oh, penguin. Okay, it looked like a Furby to me. But so let's get in our circle and pray. You can grab your toys if you want. And then we're going to have one more thing to do after that. Oh, sorry, Brandon. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask you to bless these kids, help them to see that their lives are wonderful and protected, and help them to know that no matter where they go, they are appreciated and loved by God and by the people around them. And may you bless them throughout this week. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So before we get our snacks, hold on. We got a presentation to make. I know, I'm making a change in church. It's scary. What we're going to do, I'm going to ask Mr. Ryland Swaldo to come forward. So something our CEC is doing this month is we've really wanted to get back to giving our kids Bibles and getting them a chance when they hit about second or third grade to have a Bible, something that they can read and really relates to their personality. So Ryland was chosen to be our first CEC Kid of the Month. So if you pay attention to our newsletter, which will come out later this week, there'll be a little article on Ryland sharing all of his favorite things with a picture. And we are excited that Ryland can be our first kid, and he's a very important part of our congregation. For your willingness to do this, our CEC has given you a gift of a Bible they thought would be appropriate for you. So I'll give you the honors. You can pull that off, and we'll see what we got you. And we got you the brick Lego Bible. You're going to hold that up. It's a heavy one. See that? Both editions. So you got the Old Testament and the New Testament. So this outweighs my Bible. But I think you're going to have some fun with this one. Yeah. So let's give a round of applause and thanks to Ryland. Get it back in the box. But yeah, there'll continue to be opportunities to give to our CEC, and other kids are going to get opportunities to receive some books that we have given them. I'm going to ask somebody who has better hands than I right now to put this. Sorry. Let me hold this. Keep sticking over the corner. See, it already is a puzzle piece right here. So should we get a picture? Let's get a picture. Oh, you're okay. Oh, sorry, yeah. Thank you. And you can take this with you, Rylan. Use those muscles of yours. There you go. You may remain seated at this time as we join together in song. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words you have to say to each of us, and remind us to let these words turn into actions and faith in our own life. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So if you haven't already caught it, our theme today is doubt. How do we wrestle with doubt? Doubt is a word we neglect quite a bit in the church. At least we kind of leave it in the background, except for the one or two times we encounter it in the lectionary in a given year. But sometimes doubt or a healthy amount of skepticism can be a good thing to have. Sometimes doubt can be a good thing. Let me give you an example. So let's say if you're Millie Weston and you've just made a delicious fresh batch of chocolate chip cookies or a nice beautiful pie, and you've got this nice little low-hanging counter at your house, and you've also got a three-year-old toddler lying around this house somewhere, and maybe a lab or a golden retriever lying around in this house. Now, do you just walk around your house blindly, having faith that this dog and this retriever are going to leave your chocolate chip cookies alone? Mm-mm, not if you want to eat those cookies. You're kind of like Thomas in that moment when you see that three-year-old, aren't you? I want to see your hands at all times. I want to see them because I want to see who's going to take my darn cookies and if they're going to make it to my mouth someday. The promised land, we'll call that. Those of you that are Cleveland Brown fans know that doubt or healthy skepticism can be a good thing once in a while. When it's 24-23 and the Cleveland Browns need a 42-yard field goal to win the game, you know not to put too much faith in that field goal kicker, right? You've learned that lesson the hard way. Because sometimes a healthy amount of doubt can be a very good thing. It can soften the blow on some difficult moments in our lives. An interesting thing about our passage today is that Thomas has every right to believe that Jesus is still dead. He is the only one that did not get to see the risen Savior. And the interesting thing is we have no record of Thomas doing anything wrong to be the reason for his exclusion. He just seems like he just didn't happen to be here. But despite all this, Thomas was still on the sidelines. He was still left out from what everybody else got to experience and see. So I want you to think about what Thomas is feeling. Because have you ever been excluded from a special family moment or something very important in your life? Is there a mile or a memory that everyone remembers fondly that you were either sick or absent from? Maybe you had the chicken pox, maybe you had the measles, maybe you were just down with the flu one day. But everybody was there except for you. And make no mistake about it, when we're talking about the disciples, we are talking about family. John 19:26-27, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciples, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciples took her into their own home. It can be a really depressing feeling when no one even bothers to note your absence, just like they did with, just like the gospel writer John did with Thomas in this story. Because we hear the first part where Jesus gets revealed to all his disciples, but it does not say in that passage, except for Thomas, who was out taking care of the horses or taking a bath or doing something else. It just naturally excludes him until the next paragraph. Because in the eyes of John, Thomas was a bit of an afterthought. And it also raises the question, have you ever felt excluded from a spiritual moment? Perhaps there was a worship service where everyone felt the presence of the Spirit, and you were the one regretting not staying buried beneath the covers in your bed that morning. How about those of you that have been to camp or Tar Hollow? Perhaps there was a covenant night that was powerful for all your friends, but for you it was just another worship service. And sometimes that doubt can become far more personal, because you may have been bedside with a beloved family member and been looking away or at the vending machine or in the bathroom when a peaceful smile came to their face, or they gave a thumbs up. And when we experience moments like that, it's easy to say, why not me? Why was I the one that was excluded from this? In fact, it's very human and natural to say in those moments, why not me? But give Thomas credit here. In this encounter, we see no jealousy or power play, like many of the other disciples were prone to do. All Thomas does is he asks for evidence. Unless I see the mark of the nail in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas is not asking for written documentation, but he just wants to see what everyone else has seen. How often do we pray like that? God, I don't ask you for a lot today, but if you just grant me this one small thing, I will never ask for anything again. How often do we pray like that? And it can often be seen as the chicken and the egg dilemma in Christianity. Does unanswered prayer lead to doubts, or do our doubts make us believe that our prayers are not being answered? Does unanswered prayer lead to doubts, or do our doubts make us believe that our prayers are not being answered? Because when our faith is wavering, we rarely pay attention to the crease God is creating and opening that door for us. It could just be a very small space on a very large door, but there is a crease that God is making for you to work through. But when we're struggling, all we can see is a door that remains shut, a door that remains closed. So we have to ask ourselves, are we giving space for God's light to lead us when we need him? In our prayers, are we still trying to tell God where to go, or are we letting God guide us? Because when we are seeking control, we tell God, I will not believe unless you answer my prayer exactly as I want. We've all said that. God, give me this prayer and I will believe and do anything you want. But when we are faithful, when we are not doubting, we are praying, God, I don't know the way out of this situation, but I trust that you will show me the way. Help me to trust you. Help me to listen. That's what a faithful prayer can sound like. And there are so many good reasons not to scapegoat Thomas here. Scholar Nancy Rockwell said, Thomas is a Greek name, and it means twin. Though his twin, if he had one, never appears. And some suggest that we are, each of us, the twin, Thomas's twin. We are Thomas. On any given day, we can be the skeptic in the middle of faithful disciples. And we can be the faithful Thomas as well, that is courageous enough to look at the risen Savior in the eyes when everybody else is standing back in awe. We can be the ones that say, my Lord and my God. We can be either one. And these two contrasting personalities are always going to be a part of us. And the lesson for us is not to cure all of our doubts, but to remind us that doubt can be a healthy part of faith if we don't allow it to overwhelm us. It can be something we can use. Author Luke Larson said, I can't help but think the church is so busy saving people who are drowning in their doubt that we rarely have time to teach people to swim. The church is so busy saving people who are drowning in their doubt that we rarely have time to teach people to swim. So in other words, what Luke Larson is saying is that we are so scared of this pool of doubt that lives within each of us that our advice is to tell people to avoid the pool altogether. Just stay away from it. Don't go near it. Don't even bother learning how to swim. Any of you who've been around a four-year-old or a six-year-old, how effective are you in telling them, oh, don't bother learning how to swim someday. You're not going to have to worry about that. They let that go right away, don't they? No? But yeah, that's why it's so important we teach them how to swim. Because if our only advice is to avoid the pool, eventually they're going to want to get in the water. And guess what? We're going to wish that we taught them how to swim, how to manage the doubts in their lives. But so often we let them kind of wander in, and then we're upset that they don't know how to swim. We didn't teach them. That's not on young people. And the problem is this avoiding doubt, this running away from doubt, is not what Jesus taught us. Jesus didn't kick Thomas out of the disciples because of his doubts. Jesus didn't kick Peter out of the disciples because of his doubts. But he used those doubts to build a closer relationship with people every single time. And I want you to think about, open up your Bible, look at your Gospels, and see how large they are. And I want you to picture, if they took out every passage a disciple doubted Jesus, how big do you think your Gospel would be? It'd be a pretty small Gospel after that. There'd be no story of Jesus walking on water, no story of the denial of Christ, no story about Thomas and his doubt. Jesus worked through every one of those and saw an opportunity to educate, an opportunity to bring people to faith. For Jesus didn't want disciples who blindly follow, but he wants those of us who have struggled, wrestled, and even doubted who he is. Jesus knows that those who work at their faith truly mean when they say, "My Lord and my God." For those that have never been tested, have never had their faith strengthened by doubt and by challenge, they know that accepting Jesus in their hearts is not a small task, and it will change who they are to their very core. They have seen what their life looks like without Christ, and they're not going back. Jesus is always going to be a part of their life. And Jesus wants us as disciples, not because we have never wavered, not because we have been perfect Christians, but because we have struggled, because we have been imperfect Christians. And you know what that means? We can help other Christians who are struggling. We can help other Christians who are imperfect. That makes us better missionaries than if we had been perfect all along. So the lesson to take away is, don't be ashamed about your doubts, about your fears and your anxieties. But feel empowered because you have those emotions. Because our struggles and our doubts, they are a ministry tool for Jesus. There are things we can use to share the gospel every single day. So let us never stop utilizing our doubts and our struggles to build up the body of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you love us enough to give us the opportunity to ask questions, to raise doubts, to raise our fears and our anxieties. And we know that if we trust and we put them in you, we can use them to build up our faith, our hope, and our love. For you are a God who never runs away from us. You never turn your back, Savior, but help each one of us see that you can work through anything, especially us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we sing together "The Old Rugged Cross." For those of you that have the insert, it'll be back on the back of your birthday and anniversaries. bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.